Today we're going to jump off into this brand new series, and to start today, I want to start off with a game for the guys in the room. Now, ladies, you can watch, you can observe, you can have fun with this as well, but men, this game is for you, and so it's just called Would You Rather, all right? And so here's the situation. So I want you to imagine that you are at home, and you've got your remote control in hand, or the clicker, whatever it is that you call it in your domain, and of course, you have control of the remote control. Why? Because you're the man, all right? And that's why, okay? And so you're flipping through there, and you've got choices in terms of movies that you're going to be able to watch that evening, and it's your choice, all right? And so here's the first question. Would you rather watch Titanic or Braveheart, all right? So any Titanic men in the room? Okay, that's kind of what I... How many Braveheart men in the room right there? Freedom, right? That's what we want. How many of y'all, whenever you see that scene, you're just like, if I had a sword right now, you know, and some face paint, you know, there'd be some stuff going on around here. All right, okay, so there we go. Okay, so Braveheart, all right, there we go. How many of y'all would rather watch Avengers Endgame or My Best Friend's Wedding? All right. So here we go. In game. All right. On your left. Any My Best Friend Wedding guys out there? Yeah, it's kind of what I thought. All right. Here you go. Here's the last one. How many of y'all would rather watch Top Gun Maverick? And I'm not giving you another choice. All right. That's how this one works, because it's like, yes. Right, man? It's just like, yes! Oh my goodness, greatest movie I've seen in 30 years. But so basically, you ask any guy, and this is what it's going to come down to. They'll tell you there are two kinds of movies, right? There are good ones and chick flicks. All right. Oh, come on now. Come on. You're afraid to laugh at that one right there. So, but yeah, hey, so today we're jumping off into this series on the life of Samson. And it really is just an interesting story, because in the Bible, there is nobody else who is described as physically strong as Samson is. I mean, this dude is a powerful man. He's a beast whenever it comes to his physical feats and the things he's able to do. But at the same time, while there may not be anybody physically stronger, there's arguably not anybody who is spiritually weaker than Samson in the entire Bible. I mean, it's amazing. You just watch through, you read through his story. And this is a story that I have been fascinated with since I was a little kid, you know. Mom had this little Bible story book that she would bring into the room, and she would read to my brother and I, you know, as we were getting ready to go to bed. And sometimes she would go in order and just kind of flip through the pages there. Sometimes, though, it would be like, you know, your choice. And whenever she would ask me, what story do you want to hear tonight? You want to know the one I always pick? Samson, you know, because it's like muscles, mayhem, mistakes, pretty girls. Even at 10 years old, I was like, let's go, you know, let's do this thing, you know, because it's like, it's just this inspiring kind of story that's there, because the reason why Samson resonated with me as a little kid and even today, and maybe even why it resonates so deeply with you as a man, is because inside every single man in the room, ladies, let me give you an insight into your man, is a desire to be strong. Is a desire to know that he has what it takes. Is a desire to be the man God has called him to be. Every man wants to be strong. And this is why, if you've raised a little boy, or if you got a, you know, grandson or something like that, little boys are just flex machines. You ever notice this about little boys? Like, they never have a shirt on, you know? It's like they're just running around. They're like, do you see this? See this, mom, is it getting bigger? I think it's getting bigger. Every little boy does that. And some of you are like, I'm married to a guy that does the same thing, right? You know, he's like, hey, honey, you see that? You see that? And it's like, yeah, and that's just what it is. Every man, we just got this desire. We want to be strong. You know, John Eldridge wrote the book called The Wild at Heart. And one of the things he says is that, and this is just a broad generalization, all right? You with me? Is that inside every woman is the question, am I beautiful? Am I captivating? Somebody's going to, you know, love me for who I am. But inside every man is the question, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to be the man that God has called me to be? Do I have what it takes to provide for a family? Do I have what it takes to be the kind of husband that loves his wife as, you know, as the Lord loved the church? Do I have what it takes inside of me? And so that's why today, if you're watching online, if you're here in the room, you know, I believe that this series is really, it's going to speak to everyone that is in the room, man, woman alike. But I really believe this, that these next 4 weeks have the potential to speak powerfully to the men in our church here at Corinth Christian Church. I believe this story has the power to inspire us, to challenge us to be the men that God has called us to be. Can I share with you just a really depressing verse before we jump into Samson's story real quick? Okay, it's found in the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel's book, and this is what it says. Listen to this. It says, I looked for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But then say the last few words with me, but I found none. The Lord says, I'm looking over all of my people, and I'm just looking for a man, one man, who will stand in the gap, who will fight, who will intercede on behalf of my people so I don't have to destroy it. And God says, I looked over my entire nation and I could find no one. Friends, can I give you an insight into the prayer life of Adam? My prayer is that the men of Corinth Christian Church would be men who stand in the gap, who fight the good fight, who love their wives as Christ loves the church, and who raise their children to know and to serve and to fear the Lord their God. That's my prayer, and my prayer is through the course of this series that we'll be calling our men up and saying, this is where we're going. The old British evangelist, his name was Henry Varley, this is what he said. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. And that's our prayer, to be that man that is fully devoted to the Lord. And so Samson's life is going to be our guide for the next 4 weeks as we look to become the kind of men that God wants us to be. And we're going to look at his extraordinary accomplishments, his extraordinary strengths, but also his extraordinary failures and his weaknesses. And I want to give you just the big idea of Samson's story right up here at the front that'll just kind of serve as a theme for the next 4 weeks. This is it. If you want to know about Samson, here's what you need to know. Samson was a strong man with a weak will. He was an incredibly strong man with an incredibly weak and devastating will. I mean, you think about it, from the very beginning, his story, it's like his birth is announced by an angel. You know, he's set apart to the Lord. He has supernatural strength. Yeah, I mean, guys, we'll see here in just a second. He tears a lion apart. You know, he kills 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey, you know? He does some amazing things, but yet he ends up compromising his vow to the Lord for a handful of honey. He has uncontrollable fits of anger. He kills 30 guys to cover up a gambling debt. He has an insatiable weakness for women. He is a strong man with a weak will, an outer strength that could not overcome an inner weakness that eventually overtakes and destroys his life. Strong man, weak will. And that may describe you. That may describe a man you know. He's strong, but he's weak. I mean, he's committed to work. You know, he puts in 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Or, you know, he's committed to the gym. I mean, he's fit, he's in shape, but yet he won't commit to a woman. I mean, it's the kind of guy that will spend hours researching what kind of golf club or boat or rifle that he needs to buy, but he won't spend 15 minutes a day reading his Bible. I mean, it's a guy that's aggressive at work. He's aggressive in his career, and he gets stuff done, but you put him at home, and he's just passive and uninvolved. It's a guy that loves the Lord, and he loves his wife, but he is trapped in a secret, lustful habit is taking him down. Strong men, weak will. Samson's story is going to be able to tell us how we can overcome this. And so today, we'll be in Judges chapter 14. So if you want to grab your Bible and your note sheet there, that was in your bulletin there, that'll be your guide. So Judges is in the Old Testament. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, all right? That's right where it is. And we'll be in chapter 14. And a couple of things here, just as you're kind of looking that up in your Bible, let me just kind of set the scene for the book of Judges to begin with and just kind of help you see what's going on. It's a crazy time for the nation of Israel, but they don't have a king at this point. And so God is always just raising up these judges. But there's this crazy cycle that takes place in the book of Judges. We'll throw it up here on the screen so you can just kind of see what's going on. And so this is how it goes. There's this time in Israel as a nation, as a group of people, they're serving the Lord. They're doing what is right. They're doing what is good. But then they will end up falling into idolatry. And so then the Lord will punish them and will enslave them or send people to make their life miserable. Because their life becomes miserable, Israel cries out to God, save us from all this stuff going on. And so God hears their cries, raises up a judge, the judge delivers them, and Israel serves the Lord. And then after a while, Israel falls into idolatry, and the entire cycle repeats. In the book of Judges, it repeats 12 different times. There are 12 different judges raised up in the book of Judges where this is all going on. Now, Samson is probably the most famous of all the judges. Even if you're new to church, never read a Bible before, you may have heard of Samson's story. And the story is, you know, Israel's done evil again, and so God raised up Samson. You know, while they were being, you know, just kind of just messed with by the Philistine people for 40 years. Now, if I were to ask you what Samson is most known for, you would probably say one of two things. It's either his hair, which we'll get to, but it's also probably his strength. And have you ever read through the story of Samson and just kind of wondered, what did the guy look like? You know, I don't know what your picture is of mine. Let's throw out the first one. Maybe your first picture in mind is like a guy that looks like this, you know. He's got a Superman tank top on. He's in the gym. He's pumped up. He's doing some incredible things. And, you know, maybe Samson looks something kind of like this. But here's the thing. The Bible doesn't tell us, you know, what Samson looked like. So I kind of wonder, and I can't prove this or anything like this. I think Samson may have looked more like this, okay? Because here's the thing. If, let's go back to the first picture there. If a guy like this does something incredible, like tears a lion apart or, you know, kills 1,000 people with a jawbone, everybody's going to look at a guy like that and go, eh, makes sense, you know? But you throw this next guy up and this guy with a dad bod, you know, it's like, now that guy, if he does something miraculous, people are going to go, yeah, that had to have been the Lord. You know, that had to have been the Lord because that dude can't walk a mile without wheezing, you know? And it's just like, so it had to have been God to do that, you know? But that's the thing. Whenever it comes to Samson's strength, the key is, it's found here in verse 6 of chapter 14. It's where it comes from. Okay? Because any time that Samson performs a feat, it's always preceded by this little phrase. It says this, that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The Spirit of the Lord comes powerfully upon him. And so then Samson does this. Then Samson does this. But it's the Spirit of the Lord that gives him his strength. So listen up to me. Listen. Because this is what it means, man. It wasn't Samson's gym membership that gave him strength. It was God's Spirit that gave him strength. And here's why that matters. The same Spirit, listen to me, the same Spirit that gave Samson his power is the same Spirit that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ that lives inside of you. You have access to the same power, the same Spirit that was empowering Samson. And so you already have everything you need to be the man that God has called you to be. You're not weak. You're not powerless. You have the Spirit of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, living inside of you. You've got it. It's just learning how to access it, and it's learning how to live according to the Spirit, which is what Samson kind of failed at. And his story is going to end up with him losing his strength. And if you know his story towards the end, it's like, why does Samson lose his strength? It's like, well, he got a haircut, right? you know, his hair was cut. And so he ends up, you know, losing his strength. And if you're new to faith, new to the Bible, new to the church, it sounds weird, but let me kind of explain it to you. So Samson in chapter 13 of Judges is born to this godly, sterile couple. And an angel shows up and says, God's going to give you a son. He's going to be special. He's going to be set apart. And he's going to be a Nazarene. And that just means he's going to be set apart, and it's a special vow that Samson was going to take, and it basically came down to three things. It meant three things for his life. It meant, number one, he would never drink alcohol. Number two, he wouldn't touch dead things. And the third thing is he would never cut his hair. Now, the first two things, you're like, okay, that kind of makes sense, but why the hair thing? And it's like, well, it's this outward sign of an inner call. And it's just to show Samson has been set apart. He has been chosen by God. But here's what we're going to see over the course of the next few weeks. Samson didn't lose his strength because he lost his hair. Because listen, if losing your hair meant losing your strength, I'm looking at a lot of guys that are in trouble today, all right? No, that's not what happened. Listen to this. What led Samson to losing his strength wasn't the loss of his hair. It was the loss of his self-control. He lost self-control. And that's what began that slide. He didn't wake up one day and say, I just want to trash the call that God has put on my life. It was a gradual slide into disobedience by making small compromises. He was a strong man with a weak will. So by now, I hope you've had time to find Judges chapter 14. And I want us to look at this story. And in this, as we look at this one story in Samson's life, we're going to find three attitudes that made the strong man weak. Okay? Three attitudes that made a strong man weak. Here's attitude number one. It's lust. And what does that say? I want it. I want it. Let's look at the beginning of the story. Verse 1, chapter 14. It says, one day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women, everybody say it with me, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. And when he returned home, he told his father and mother, a young Philistine woman in Timnah has caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me. His father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe among all the Israelites you can marry? They asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good to me. So Samson's over in Timnah. It's about 4 miles away from his hometown of Zorah. It's in Philistine territory. And if you need to know who the Philistines are, let me try to put it like this. If you're a Star Trekkie, they're the Klingons. If you're Star Wars, they're the Empire. Okay, you know, kind of, there's the bad guys. They're the bad guys in the story. And so he's over there, and he's in this place, catch it, where he knows he's not supposed to be. He's looking around, and he sees this little cutie, this little hottie, and it says it catches his eye. And so Samson says to his dad, literally, he says, a woman I have seen in Timnah, and he says, get her for me as my wife. And that reveals his character, doesn't it? I mean, we really get a glimpse into Samson. Who is this guy? This is a guy that is dominated by his senses. What he sees and what he wants, and all he wants to do is follow his desires. Get her for me now. There's no delayed gratification for Samson. And his dad is just kind of like trying to give godly counsel, but stop it. Stop me, parents, if you've heard this before. Sometimes your kids just don't listen, okay? And so his dad tries to give some godly counsel there, and he's like, yo, isn't there like a girl, you know, in our like area that's like same mindset, same kind of stuff that maybe you could, you know, date instead? And Samson's like, nah, get her for me. He says, she looks good for me. She looks good to me. Literally, this is how you translate that little phrase. She is right in my eyes. She's right in my eyes. Now notice, in this entire thing, Samson never asks the question, is this right? Is this what God would want for me? Is this the kind of relationship that's going to bring honor to the Lord? What would God say about this? Is this wise? What is it? It's, I want it. I want her. She's hot. That's all that matters, right? That's the only thing I care about. It's right in my eyes. Now, here's something interesting, all right? This big picture in the book of Judges. So up until this point in the book of Judges, there's this little phrase that happens over and over again. And it's this: Israel did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Shows up all kinds of times. The people did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. But after this point, after Samson, everything churns. And here's the new phrase that the author starts to give us. It's this: and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Samson's the pivot point to where everybody says, we're not even really concerned about what the Lord wants. We're not even concerned about if we're doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. We just want to do what's right in our eyes. And can I just say that kind of feels like the attitude of the day? The world around us? Everybody just wants to do what's right in their own eyes. I mean, it doesn't matter what the Lord says. It doesn't even matter what basic biology says. What basic human decency says. It's like, no, it's right in my eyes. It's right in my own eyes. And here's the thing, church, here's what I know. It'd be really easy for me to stand up here and we could spend 30, 40, 50 days just for me pointing out all the things that are wrong out there. But that's not what we do. We don't point our finger at what's going on out there. We point our finger in here. And we ask the question, are there things in my life where I'm just doing what is right in my own eyes? So that's really the question that you and I are responsible for. I mean, do you ever find yourself just saying things like, you know, I don't care what the Lord says. I don't care what God thinks. I'm just going to do what I want to want. Do you have people surrounding you that are going, no, please don't, just stop. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're making a mistake. You're making an error. Please reconsider. And you just say, but I want it. And it's right in my eyes. So I'm going to just take it. But here's the thing, and I came across this line this week. I thought it was fantastic. It's this: if you always give in to I want it, you'll eventually have to live with I regret it. It'll catch up to you. It'll catch up to you. So attitude number one, it's lust. It's just saying, I want it. Here's the second attitude that makes a strong man weak. It's entitlement, which says, I deserve it. I deserve it. Story continues. So Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah. A young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. And at that moment, here's our verse, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. And he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, because apparently that's easy. All right. And so I did not know that, all right? But listen, he didn't tell his father or mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. And later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he, what does it say? Say it with me. He turned off the path. You might want to underline that right there. He turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. And he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. And so he scooped some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it. But he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. So it's just an incredible scene. Like, you've got this lion that approaches, and the Spirit of the Lord shows up and empowers Samson. He just rips the thing apart. And then it says he doesn't tell anybody. I don't understand this, right? You know, because here's the deal. I'm just telling y'all, if I tore apart a lion, you know, by its jaw, it's in every single story that I tell, you know, because you'll be like, hey, Adam, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Have I ever told you about the time that a lion attacked me and I grabbed it by the head and I just ripped it apart? Like, oh no, I haven't heard that. Well, let me tell you that story. You know, somebody would come to me for marriage counseling and be like, yeah, we're just not getting along anymore. I don't know what to do. It's like, yeah, you know what you need to do? Is you probably need to tear apart the lion, kind of like I did. Have I told you about this time? Every single story would just like go back to this thing, you know, me tearing apart the lion, but he doesn't do that. Why? Well, let's see. He eventually comes back. And it says that he turned off the path to look at it. He turned off the path to look. He turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. Now, let's go back and let's see how much we've been paying attention. What is one of the vows of a Nazarite? Never touch a dead thing. Don't touch dead stuff. That's all you got to do, right? So here's my question. If that's part of the vow, why would you even go near that which you're supposed to avoid. Why would you do that? Answer, entitlement. I deserve it. I'm the one that ripped that thing apart. Why should somebody else get to eat the honey out of that? I'm the one that did that. I deserve it. I deserve to go back and look. And here's the question for y'all, and some of y'all know this way too well, but whenever you go back and look at what you shouldn't look at, what do you see? Something sweet. And something that'll cause you to break your vow. And so Samson scoops out the honey and he betrays the God who gave him the strength to conquer the lion for a handful of honey. How could someone be so stupid to betray his vow to the Lord for a handful of honey? But yet men do it every single day. It's just one look. It's just a few pictures. It's just a lunch. It's just a one-night stand. And they betray their vow for a handful of honey. And they give up everything good in their lives. Why? Because I deserve it. It's what makes strong men weak. I want it. I deserve it. Here's attitude three. I can handle it. It's pride. I can handle it. Verse 10 says this, as his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was the custom for elite young men. So that little phrase, threw a party in Hebrew, is the Hebrew phrase mishta, which means literally to hold a drinking party, okay? So let's put it like this, Samson threw a kegger. Okay, that's what it is. They're doing keg stands over on the side. Everything's going on. It's just like this insane party there. But let's remind ourselves, what are the vows of a Nazarite? Don't drink alcohol. That's one of the things, right? So here's the question. Why would a guy with a vow to the Lord to never drink alcohol throw a kegger? Because of his pride. He thought, I'm strong. I can handle this. This isn't going to take me down. It's not that big of a deal. I can handle it all. Just like you thought that you could handle it. It's just a few drinks. I'm going to handle a few drinks, you know? I just want my girlfriend to stay overnight, just once. I can handle it. I deserve it. You know, I'm just looking. It's no big deal. I can handle it. I can deserve it. I mean, I know it's a big purchase, but I can handle the monthly payments. Pride take you down. It'll take a strong man, make him weak. And I want you to hear the warning of Samson. What Samson thought he could handle ended up handling him. And I want you to hear this. What you think you can handle, men, may end up handling you. And it may take you down. I want it. I deserve it. I can handle it. It's three attitudes that make a strong man weak. Well, let's wrap up with this. Let's end up on a more positive note here. And let's say, what are three attitudes then that can make weak men strong? All right, because that's the goal. We don't want to be weak. We want to be strong. And so what are the three attitudes that can make weak men strong? Attitude number one is this. It's transparency. And what does it say? It says this, I am weak and I need God, all right? That's where my strength comes from. Ephesians 6:10 says this, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. 1 Samuel 30 says about David, but David found his strength in the Lord his God. That's where our strength comes. Because listen, men, it is not the size of our physique that determines our strength. And somebody better say amen. Amen. Right. It is the size of our faith. That is what determines our strength. Our dependence is the source of our strength. Be strong in the Lord. The second attitude is humility. And it's not entitlement. It's this, I deserve nothing. The world owes me nothing. You owe me nothing. I owe you nothing. We owe nothing. God owes me nothing. Because what do we actually deserve from the Lord? Romans 6 says what? For the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We are sinners and we deserve death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. The world, the Lord owes me nothing. Third attitude is vulnerability. And that is just this, it's acknowledging I could fall. I can fall. I am not above this. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. You will be tempted. Be careful not to fall. All of us are vulnerable. We all face temptations of every kind. We're all vulnerable. And men, this is why you need to be here every weekend. It's why you need to be bringing your household every single weekend. It's why you should be in a small group led by one of our small group leaders. It's why you should be serving the Lord weekly. It's why you should be reading your Bible every day. It's why you should be praying with your wife on a daily basis, because we're vulnerable. And that's how we stand in the gap. That's how we fight the good fight. Is to depend on the Lord, because without him, we're powerless and we can fall. So here's your bottom line this morning. True strength is not found in power, but in restraint, in submission to the one who is your power. So here's my challenge to you, men, women alike. Why not spend some time this week and identify and then confess your weakness? Maybe as we talk through here, you're just like, oh my goodness, I'm a strong man who's been made weak because lust is just destroying my life. My want, it's destroying me. Or maybe there's an entitlement thing going on for you and you just think that everybody owes you something and so you deserve it, you deserve it. Or maybe you're just walking around going, I can handle it. Well, it's probably time to identify that. But then we don't just stop at identifying and going, oh, I know what's wrong with me. Is we're actually going to take the next step and we're going to confess. And we're going to confess to God because he is faithful and just and he will forgive us of our sins. But we're also going to James 5 this bad boy and we're going to confess this to somebody else. Because whenever we confess our sins to others, that's whenever we may be healed. And so maybe there's a guy that you need to practice some vulnerability with. Maybe there's a couple of guys who just need to say, you know what, dudes, this is the deal. For me, it's entitlement. You know, it's my pride. And I need you to pray for me that I would be strong and not weak. Because that's where strength comes from, right? It's whenever we submit to the power of our Lord. So let me pray for you. God, today we are just incredibly grateful that you have recorded this story for us for eons and eons of time. And as we look at it today, it still speaks incredibly powerful and relevant truth to us today. And today, as we consider Samson, we see a man of God set apart who failed in what he thought he could handle, ended up handling him. And at the same time, we consider another man who was born thousands of years later, who was also set apart for you. And he ended up handling what we can't handle on our own. And that Jesus, on the cross, that you took on all of our sin, all of our lust, all of our entitlement, all of our pride, all of these things that make us weak, and you said that you would take it on yourself so that we could be saved. We could be made clean. We could be made strong because of your spirit inside of us. And so today, God, we say thank you, and we ask that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit to follow and to be the men, to be the women you have called us to be. And we pray this in his powerful name. Amen.